Mr. President, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this inauguration event. The Center of Excellence was established by a group of determined EU and NATO member states only 6 months ago. Today we are happy to report that a new intergovernmental organization is up and running. I believe it sends a strong message. We have a shared assessment of threats, and we are prepared to meet them together. It has been rewarding to lead a project that has strong support from 12 governments. On behalf of the steering board representing the Center's member countries, I would like to thank the Secretary General and the High Representative for the valuable support NATO, the External Action Service, and the European Commission continues to provide for the Center. We are thankful for Prime Minister Sipilä and his government for providing the Center's core funding. And we all appreciate the fact that you, Mr. President, already in 2015 raised the need to take hybrid threats on the European agenda. Lately, we have been pleased to see how you have promoted the Center at your various meetings, most notably with President Trump. It is also, therefore, a great pleasure for me to invite you to deliver your opening remarks. Mr. President, the floor is yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, as EU member states, we share a common security environment with NATO. The EU and NATO are facing the emerging challenges increasingly also together. With this in mind, I am honoured to welcome NATO Secretary General and EU High Representative to Finland. Your joint visit is a clear sign of your commitment to counter threats also together. When we talk about hybrid threats, an old story told to me by Syrian crisis mediator Brahimi comes to my mind. It dates back to the times when we still had customs in Europe, and goes like this. A very ordinary looking man was riding a bicycle and he came to border crossing. He had a big sack on the rack. Surely the customs officers asked him what it contained. Well, it is sand, he said. Only sand. I need it in the other side of the border. Surely the customs officers opened the sack and noticed that, well, it just was, to their eyes, only sand. The same was repeated next day and the following days. Once the customs officers decided to send the sack to a laboratory, it has to contain something. But it didn't, it was just sand. So, little by little, the cycling sandman became a curiosity rather than a danger. But one junior customs officer was very restless. He was sure that there has to be something behind this. He couldn't sleep. So, next time he saw the sandman, he said that, well, come around the corner and if you tell me the secret, I will not reveal you. So he asked, what's the secrecy of the sand? And the man asked, sand? No, I'm smuggling bicycles. But the story reveals the basic dilemma we face with hybrid threats. Namely, the threats exploit our lack of understanding, preparation and foresight. Often we may see what the adversary is doing, but we fail to understand what it actually means. And when we finally grasp the situation, they have most probably already made a good collection of bicycles on the other side of the border. The range of hybrid threats is wide. Information operations and cyber tools are at the core of attempts to influence. In a similar manner, vulnerabilities in the critical functions of our societies are abused in hybrid tactics. Also, our political and economic freedoms are misused by our challengers. Hybrid threats call for enhanced awareness. We have to understand at a strategic level the aims and means of our challengers. We need to identify our vulnerabilities and we need to be prepared and resilient. Resilience, or the ability to resist and recover from pressure, is of great importance. The citizens' will to defend their nation is the key factor. But one must remain level-headed about the threats we face. Sometimes the threat can also be less than meets the eye. At times I have been struck by the level of alarmism in our debates concerning the threat posed by the Russians. It goes without saying that we must take Russia very seriously. At the same time, we must avoid inflating the threats either. Sometimes it's hard to avoid the impression that we are waging a part of the information war on behalf of those who attack us. Therefore, I welcome the research component of the new centre and hope that it will bring measured contributions to the debate. We must also remember that the threat does not always come primarily from the outside. Our own divisions create opportunities for hybrid threats. Identifying and abusing them is always a delight for external actors. We must take a better care of the cohesion of our own societies. Dear friends, I'm happy to be delivering these opening remarks today. The Centre of Excellence highlights three central issues in Finnish security policy. Firstly, it shows that Finland is a producer, not a consumer, of security. Secondly, we take a comprehensive approach to security. This is a must for a small nation, but it is reflecting also the changing nature of threats we face. Thirdly, it highlights our determination to produce security in close cooperation with our partners. On behalf of the Republic of Finland, I would like to thank the 11 governments that have joined us in establishing the centre. Allow me also to express my appreciation to the European External Action Service and the European Commission and the NATO Secretariat, and personally to Mr. Secretary General and Mrs. High Representative and Vice President for your strong support in establishing the Centre. With these words, I wish you all a fruitful opening seminar and every success in the important tasks that are waiting the Centre. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, for your words. And now we have a chance to listen to our keynote speakers. They are NATO Secretary General and High Representative of the European Commission. And first one, Federica Mogherini, the High Representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy and Vice President of the European Commission.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, Mr. Prime Minister, Mr. Secretary General, dear colleagues and friends. It is for me really a pleasure to mark today the inauguration of the European Centre for Countering Hybrid Threats together with you. In almost 3 years of common work with Jens, and I will always remember we started almost together and you were the first person I met when I took office, we have done a lot of work. We have brought the cooperation between the European Union and NATO to a level that is definitely unprecedented. And I believe this inauguration today, this centre, is an excellent example of it. And it is also another place for working together. And I believe it is very telling that the centre is opening here in Finland, in Helsinki, a member of the European Union that is not a NATO ally. NATO and the European Union are two different things, are autonomous, our job description somehow is different, but we are partners at the same time and work very closely together in so many fields. A stronger European Union of security and defence makes also NATO stronger, and today's inauguration, I think, proves it perfectly well. This centre is indeed a very important step towards a stronger European Union. The centre was an ambition that was set in the joint communication that I've put forward in July last year, together with the European Commission. And it is just a bit more than a year ago. And already today we are here, in a centre that is up and running, with 12 countries contributing to it, and four more that will probably join soon. So I would like to really thank Finland for having set up this centre in such little time, with such high quality, and for having gathered such a support. It shows that when there is a strong political will, we can really push the boundaries of what is possible in our union. We always complain the union is slow, it's fragmented. Now we can do things fast, well, united. And I have to say that in the field of security and defence, we're doing this in quite an impressive manner recently. In the last year, we've done giant steps towards the Union of Security and Defence, and this has gone hand in hand with strengthening partnership with NATO. Finland has also shown that there is no contradiction at all, between national leadership and common European interests. Having different national fields of expertise, geographies, histories within our Union is not a liability. On the contrary, it is one of our greatest strengths, provided that we all work towards our shared goals. This is what being a union means. I always say our problem is not speaking with one voice. Our problem is if the different voices we have do not sing the same song. But it's good to have different voices. It's strength. It's also democracy and freedom. And there is no doubt that addressing hybrid threats is an interest we all share. These threats are transnational by definition. They run on the web. They don't stop at borders. Being it bicycles or sand, you don't stop them. We have all seen that cyber attacks spread very easily from one country to another. Fake news are picked up and translated beyond national borders. And once they are out, it takes double or three times to readdress the perception worldwide. And terrorist activities and terrorist groups target all our societies, from north to south, and from east to west. And let me here express a few words of sympathy and condolences to our American friends that are facing today in Las Vegas terrible losses. If one of us is vulnerable in Europe or elsewhere in the world, if one of us is vulnerable, we are all vulnerable. We can only be strong if we are strong together. And anyone who preaches the go alone theory, well, they sell illusions in our global times. No one can go alone anymore, not because it's not nice or it's not politically correct, but simply because it doesn't work with the threats we're facing today. So cooperation is the key word. Cooperation is essential among countries and also within countries. And here, let me commend again, Finland was one of the first countries to mobilize all its ministries with a whole of government approach, because hybrid threats need to be addressed with both a military and a civilian angle. They are about business as well as information. They are about digital and non-digital infrastructure. And this approach is very visible in the structure of this center, putting together three communities of interest with three different focus: on influence, on vulnerabilities and resilience, and on terrorism and radicalization. And I think this is also this awareness of the fact that the threat is not purely military anymore, it's hybrid, that has pushed so much the cooperation between the European Union and NATO, because we have different assets and they work much better if we put them together. So I'm very confident that this center will become an essential partner and point of reference for all our European activities to counter hybrid threats. I understand you are already engaging with the European Union Hybrid Fusion Cell on the analysis of trends and threats, and your intent to issue regular strategic analysis papers will also help very much inform decision-making at the European level, because we need, as the President said, to increase and improve our understanding of the phenomenon and our readiness to tackle this. Last month in Tallinn, we took part for the first time together with Jens and together with our defense ministers in our first ever exercise on an hybrid and cyber attack. It was a double first time ever. It was the first time that the NATO Secretary General was joining a European Union exercise as an observer still, but we're making progress. And it was the first time that we had an exercise on hybrid and cyber. And I'm sure this will be the first of a long series in both cases, common activities in this field and on focusing our training and exercises on hybrid and cyber. So your support, the support of this center to exercises and training, will also be a very important element. I also look forward to your support as we plan our regular EU exercises with the hybrid theme and as we design scenarios for our parallel and coordinated exercises with NATO next year in 2018. But it is not just about exercises. Your influence community has a focus on strategic communications. And I am sure we will establish a strong cooperation between this center and the two task forces that I have set up within the European External Action Service, focusing on communication to the east and to the south of our union, but not only externally, also inside our union, towards our European communities that speak respectively Russian and Arabic, because strategic communications are not only something that we address to the external action we have, but also to our own citizens. The same goes for your community of interest on vulnerabilities. The Estonian presidency has launched a Friends of Presidency group to share lessons and trends on the exact same topic, and this is another good field for cooperation. I could go on to mention other key agencies, such as the European Defence Agency and the European Union Institute for Security Studies, because inside our union we have already some expertise, I would say great expertise, on many issues that relate to hybrid threats, from defence cooperation to capability development and academic research. And I am sure that this centre can become somehow the hub of this expertise, working together with European agencies, with member states, with our partners, such as NATO, but other countries as well. Cyber attacks, disinformation, terrorist groups, all these threats are relatively new, if not as such in their new ways of operating, in their new forms, and the mix is clearly new and unprecedented. So, at the end of the day, no individual country alone, and even no organization alone, has the power and the tools to effectively address all these challenges. But we have one tool that others don't have. We can come together, we can cooperate, and together we do stand a chance to succeed. Only together we can make our citizens and our world more secure, and this center is the kind of initiative we need. So here we are, together, to make it succeed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, High Representative. And next one is the Secretary General of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg.
Prime Minister, President Niinistö and Prime Minister Sipilä and High Representative Vice President Mogherini. It's great to be here together with all of you today and to take part in this inauguration of this center to counter hybrid threats. It is especially good to be here together with you because this shows how we are moving forward on the NATO-EU cooperation, and Federica just described that. But let me add, it also describes and is yet another example of how we are moving together, not only to strengthen NATO-EU cooperation, but also how NATO is strengthening the cooperation with partner countries as Finland. And Saulo, you remember that last November you visited me at the NATO headquarters, and that was actually... I was not aware of that before you told me, but that was the first time a Finnish president had visited the NATO headquarters. So it's yet another example of how we step by step are strengthening NATO-EU cooperation, but also NATO cooperation with EU members and partner countries like Finland. And this center illustrates how we are also delivering concrete results as part of this cooperation. Then I would also like to underline that for NATO it is important to have partners like Finland because you are a very highly valued and important partner for the whole of NATO. You contribute to NATO missions and operations. You have done that for many, many years in the Balkans, in Kosovo, in Afghanistan. I recently visited Afghanistan. I met Finnish soldiers and personnel there. And you're also participating in NATO exercises, in NATO response force. You are helping, working together with NATO in many different ways. It's good for NATO, and I hope it's also good for Finland. Then you have a special skill, or Finland has a special role to play when it comes to developing NATO's relationship with Russia. Because you have the long border with Russia, you have the long relationship with Russia. This year you celebrated 100 years of independence, and you know better than I that those 100 years is very much about Finland's relationship to the neighbor in the east, to Russia, in good times and in bad times. And the Finnish border with Russia is longer than the combined border of all NATO allies with Russia. So therefore, I would also like to thank you, Finland, for what you do when it comes to sharing knowledge, experience, analysis on the relationship with Russia, which is also important for NATO. Add to that that we have now one concrete example where we are working together and where NATO is playing a key role, and that is when it comes to, we call it air safety or safety in the Baltic region, air safety, the issues we have seen with some incidents, some accidents, some dangerous situations. NATO discussed it. We discussed it in the NATO-Russia Council. I discussed it with the president. And now there's a very constructive process going on within the ICAO framework to address how can we agree on guidelines, on arrangements to increase air safety also for when it comes to military planes, state-owned aircrafts in the Baltic Sea region. We still have some work to do. But Finland is the key country in leading and hosting that process, which brings together NATO allies, Russia, Baltic states, and then working on how can we actually make some real progress in addressing something which has been of great concern for all of us. So my first message is to thank you. Thank Finland for the partnership with NATO and for being an important platform also for developing the political dialogue with Russia. Let me also add that when you mentioned the example with the bicycles, you know that up in the north we have a border with Russia. And suddenly thousands of people showed up there, and it was called Pestamo, but now it's called Pechenga, and they started to cross the borders. And the odd thing is that anyone wants to cross the border into Norway in the middle of the winter. That's not normal. But the second thing was that instead of skis, they brought bicycles. And that's because it's forbidden by law to cross the Norwegian-Russian border on foot. It's not a Norwegian law; it's a Russian law. So then and the easiest way to get a vehicle was to buy a bicycle. So they actually brought thousands of bicycles into Norway. They didn't smuggle bicycles, but they actually were fleeing war and the refugees coming to Norway. This was back in 2015, but it illustrated it was actually bicycles that was the big issue in much of the coverage of all those people crossing that border. Then I agree with what the president and the high representative have said about the importance of this center. Let me just add some reflections and some points. And the first thing is that hybrid threats are many different threats. And we use the phrase hybrid to cover actually many different things. Normally a kind of mixture of military and non-military means of aggression. A combination of covert and overt operations and measures. Everything from propaganda, from disinformation, to actually the use of regular forces, from tweets to tanks. Sometimes soldiers in uniform, sometimes soldiers without uniform. And sometimes something that happens in the cyberspace, and sometimes things that happens at our borders. And it is this combination of so many different things at the same time, with the aim to disguise and to hide the real intention that has got the name hybrid threats. And it's a kind of buzzword which I hear every place or everywhere I go now. Therefore, I think it is important to remind us all of the fact that covert operations, disinformation, the efforts to try to disguise your intentions, that's not something new. It is at least as old as the Trojan horse. So it has happened before. If there is something new, then it is the scale and the scope and the speed. So it's used more now. And the speed has increased because you can, for instance, use cyber, the internet, to conduct a lot of your hybrid measures. And therefore, NATO has responded. We have responded in close cooperation with the European Union. We have responded in close cooperation with partner countries like Finland. Just to briefly mention what we have done, I will mention at least three areas where we have reacted and adapted. The first thing we have done is to improve our situational awareness, meaning to improve the way of understanding what is going on. Because one of the main challenges with hybrid threats is that you don't understand that you are attacked before it's too late. So everything that can improve our intelligence, our surveillance, and our reconnaissance is also a way to prepare and to react and to defend against hybrid threats. Therefore, we have established a new division only working with intelligence in NATO. We are improving the ways we are sharing and analyzing and understanding intelligence, which is extremely important for us addressing hybrid threats. We are developing our reconnaissance and surveillance capabilities. We will soon deploy or have some new NATO drones, which will be key in a hybrid situation to improve situational awareness. And we are also working, of course, with the European Union also when it comes to sharing information, improving the way to analyze and to understand the hybrid threats. So that's the first area of response from NATO, improved situational awareness to be able to foresee and understand what is going on. The second thing we have done is to significantly increase the readiness of our forces. And we have done that in different ways. We have tripled the size of what we call the NATO response force to 30,000 troops. We have, as part of that, established a new joint high readiness brigade, or a VJTF, a very high readiness joint task force, which is a brigade that can react within a few days. And perhaps for at least many countries, perhaps the most important element is that we have actually increased our military presence in some of those countries which are most exposed. We have deployed four battle groups to the three Baltic countries and Poland, and also increased our presence in the southeast of the alliance. So just the fact that we now have troops, and not all, multinational troops in the three Baltic countries and Poland, of course increases significantly our ability to react fast if something happens. So the deployment of the battle groups, the new high readiness joint task force, and the tripling of the size of the NATO response force, all of that altogether and other measures have increased the readiness, meaning our ability to react quickly if needed, and if we see small green men showing up somewhere where they should not show up, then NATO will be there. And the third thing we have done to respond to a more challenging security environment with a more more hybrid threats is to improve our resilience. And we have done that in many different ways, and again, in cooperation with the European Union and partners as Finland. Perhaps the most important area where we have improved our resilience is when it comes to infrastructure. We work with also in the EU when it comes to, for instance, infrastructure, energy security, but in particular cyber. And that's part about being able to defend our own networks. There is no military operation, there is no military activity, there is no military conflict without a big cyber dimension. So we have to be able to support and defend our own networks. But of course, it's also about working with the European Union. We have an arrangement with the European Union. We have experts exchanging information, sharing experiences on how to help member states, NATO members, EU members, to strengthen their resilience and their ability to defend their own cyber networks. And that's extremely important, because we have seen that many of the hybrid threats, they actually take the form as different kinds of hybrid attacks, undermining our democratic processes, reducing our ability to have free and open discussions without fake news and disinformation. That's also an area where we have learned a lot from Finland, because you have really focused in so many years on resilience, on how to be able to protect your own societies and your own infrastructure and networks. And that's yet another example of how we believe or really see that the cooperation with Finland is of mutual benefit both for Finland and for NATO. And then we have this center, which is a new building block in how we are responding to hybrid threats. And I strongly believe that to have a center like this as a hub for sharing information, for sharing experiences, for learning from each other, from organizing training, and for also doing some practical work and looking into how we can address specific hybrid threats, it will be of great advantage both for EU, for NATO, and of course for all our member states, including Finland. So it is an important thing that we have been able to develop this center. It has been supported by the EU, by NATO, but I would like to especially commend Finland for your strong support and for funding and for hosting this center, which will be of high value for all of us. Let me also add that this center is important also because it will link and work together with other centers of excellence. There is a center of excellence in Estonia, a NATO center of excellence in Estonia on cyber threats, on cyber defense. We have a center of excellence in Latvia on strategic communications. And we have a center of excellence in Lithuania on energy security. And energy security and strategic communications and cyber are all elements in addressing hybrid threats. And I know that the directors of the four centers, this center and the three centers in the Baltic countries, they will meet tomorrow and make sure that they are linking together. And then we become even stronger by making sure that the different center of excellence addressing cyber threats in different ways are working closely together. And once again, it underlines the NATO-EU dimension. Last July, we signed a declaration, President Juncker, President Tusk and I, on NATO-EU cooperation. Then Federica and I, we developed 42 measures, many of them highly relevant for hybrid attacks. And now we are implementing the 42 measures on cyber, on exercises and many other areas. And then we will also start to work on how can we add to those measures to make sure that we not only implement what we agreed, but also develop new areas where we can further strengthen the NATO-EU cooperation. So I am inspired by the fact that we have been able to reach so far in such a short time. And I remember also very well the first time Federica and I met, because that was not the first time we met, because that's many years ago, but the first time we met as a high representative vice president and secretary general. And since then, we have met very regularly and worked very hard on how we can strengthen the NATO-EU cooperation. And it's good to see that we are making progress. So many thanks to the European Union and many thanks to Finland for making this day possible and for making this center something which is now going to be opened. Thank you.
You could stay there and you can come. Yes, please. Because now we have a chance to deepen the themes you raised up in your speeches. Oh. My name is Maria Stenros and I am the moderator of this discussion. Let's just go on from the NATO-EU cooperation. It was about a year ago when in Warsaw the cooperation was launched. Secretary General, how do you see the progress this far? And you mentioned about the next steps, so we are eager to hear what they could be.
The progress so far has been excellent, meaning that I think that if you have told anyone a year or two ago that we were able to achieve as much as we have achieved, I think not so many people would have been able to believe it. I think that one of the reasons why we have been able to reach or to achieve so much is partly that we have been very pragmatic and practical. And we have tried, because there are some sensitivities, there are some problems, or at least some challenges, partly because NATO and the EU, as Federica mentioned, we are two different organizations. To some extent, we have the same members. More than 90% of the people living in the EU, they live in a NATO country. But there are also some non-NATO EU members, and vice versa. And we have to show respect for them, their integrity, and also, of course, the independence and the decision-making processes of NATO and the EU. But I think we have been able to develop ways to do that with full respect of the EU, full respect of NATO, and those states who are not members of both organizations at the same time, and then proving gradually that we're able to then make progress on hybrid, on cyber, on exercises, on many other, or working together in the Mediterranean or the Aegean Sea. Now we will just have to sit down again this fall and see how can we make sure that we implement all the 42 measures and then add some more to them. Exactly what we'll add, I don't know, but I guess there are some people in the room who are already working on that.
Mrs. Mogherini, we all remember the NATO boats on the Aegean Sea. It was one of the signs of the cooperation of EU and NATO. How do you see the progress? Are you happy about that?
Very much so. And I think, as Jens said, that we managed, first of all, to overcome, and if I can quote you, you said something very wise, I think, one of the foreign ministers or defense ministers meeting of the European Union, because this is one of the practices we introduced. We regularly invite each other to our respective ministerial meetings, which is an excellent exercise in itself. You said once we've managed to kill the ghosts of the past. And I think this is a very effective image. We managed to move from the ideology of the relations between NATO and the European Union that has always been difficult because the nature of the two organizations is different. The European Union is a political union, NATO is a military alliance, and some of our members are not the same. But we took a very pragmatic approach, defining which are the needs, which are the fields where we need our cooperation in order to be effective, and how do we manage to deliver on this. So we took at the same time a very ambitious but also very pragmatic approach. And I think this is why we managed to build trust, overcome the suspicious on both sides. And I'm very satisfied because this is a cooperation that has proven to be real, practical, with real things done, cooperation in the Mediterranean, the hybrid, the cyber, for the first time ever sharing some of the practices of our exercises. And for me, the real challenge was to prove that it was possible to advance at the same time the EU-NATO cooperation and the EU defense policy. And here there is one particular thing that might come in our future agenda, which is the work on capabilities. In the European Union, we are increasing the work we're doing to help member states investing together on capabilities. I often say the real gap between Europeans and Americans is not so much how much Europeans invest in defense, but is the output. We invest 50% of what the Americans invest in defense in Europe, but the output we achieve is 15%. So the output gap is huge. The European Union can help the European Union member states to invest better in a less fragmented way on capabilities. And as member states have one single set of forces, however they manage to make the most out of their investments, this is going to be beneficial also, obviously, for European Union missions and operations, but also for NATO missions or for UN operations or for different kind of security activities. So I think this can be one of the next fields of common work. It is already among the 42 actions already to be implemented, but as I am convinced that also thanks to the leading role of Finland, we will be able to launch a permanent structured cooperation within the European Union by the end of the year, this could be the next horizon to work on.
You both work in central central positions in your organization and have a broad view on the security around us. Mrs. Mogherini, you wrote, it was the first year report of the EU global strategy. In that text you wrote that when...
This is always dangerous.
Yeah. 2016, when launching the strategy, the world was a different place. How do you see the changes? What has changed?
The global strategy says that the world is more complex and more unpredictable than ever. And I think this stays quite true. The complexity and the unpredictability, by definition, by themselves, produce new realities every time. And as Jens said, it's not the hybrid nature of the threats that is something new, but it's the mix. It's the speed, and it's the fact that actually the complexity makes it difficult even to identify the source of the threat sometimes. Something that looks sand is a bicycle. And that is the complexity we're facing. And I think the real change is the fact that it will continue to change and that we will have to adapt to an ever-changing security situation. That requires a different level of understanding, a different level of analysis. To me, the European way to security and also to foreign policy is potentially the answer to this kind of ever-changing security situation, which is investing in partnerships, investing in multilateralism, investing in cooperation, investing in a rules-based global order. At the end of the day, this is how the European Union was built. This is also how it prospered, even if sometimes we don't realize how much. And I believe this is the key also for facing this evolving situation. And the partnership with NATO is one of the elements, key elements in this.
And if you look at the situation both worldwide and then the Baltic Sea, what do you see?
For NATO, the thing is that we have to ask the European Union, but in another way, we have to relate to a much more unpredictable world, uncertainty, and we need to relate to many different challenges at the same time. We need to relate and to respond to turmoil, violence in the south, North Africa, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan. We need to address the risks of proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, especially nuclear weapons, North Korea. And we need to respond to a more assertive Russia. And of course, it's not new for NATO that we have to respond to different challenges, but I think we have to admit that before it was more one challenge, and then we had another challenge, and then we had yet another challenge. Now we have all at the same time on top of each other. Just to briefly remind you of the fact that for 40 years, from NATO was founded in 1949 to 1989, NATO actually did only one thing. We did collective defense in Europe. We didn't participate in any military missions, not in any military operations. We didn't fire a shot at all. We were just strong in Europe. Then the Cold War ended, the Berlin Wall came down, and people started to wonder, do we need NATO anymore? And they said, you know, NATO has to either go out of area or out of business. And we went out of area because we went into the Balkans. And that at that time, to go out of NATO territory into Bosnia-Herzegovina, Kosovo, was a big step. It was totally new. And then we helped to end two ethnic wars in the Balkans. And then we went to Afghanistan, which was even more strange in a way and something completely different. We did a lot of crisis management, fighting terrorism from the end of the Cold War until, let's say, 2014. Then suddenly we had Crimea. We had Russia destabilizing eastern Ukraine, illegally annexing Crimea. And we had ISIL and Mosul, Raqqa, Daesh, all that close to our borders. So then we had to be able to do both collective defense in Europe again, increase our military presence with, for instance, the battle groups in the Baltic countries, and at the same time step up the fight against terrorism, instability close to our borders. So now we have, in a way, to do, and then we have North Korea and all those threats. So for NATO, the world has changed in a way that we are now forced to respond to many different security challenges at the same time, while before it was more first Cold War, collective defense in Europe, then so stability, crisis management outside NATO territory. Now we have to do both at the same time, and that's a big deal. And therefore, it is important to do it together with the European Union.
Like a more complicated word all the time. You mentioned in your opening words the border crossings by bicycles in northern Norway. Mm. So that could be one example of hybrid threats. And now we are here in this opening ceremony of the center of Helsinki. How do you see the what is the way to make resilience a more common word?
Let me say two things. First of all, the people that crossed the border up in north, they were not hybrid threats. They were desperate people coming into Norway and flying, also leaving also violence and poverty in other parts of the world. Second, the main challenge now is, of course, to make sure that we are responding all together. And that's exactly why we are working so hard, not only 29 NATO allies, but also together with the European Union and other partner nations.
How urgent do you see the need for deep understanding on hybrid threats? And what could these people here in Helsinki, how could they help this?
I think this is going to be crucial, not only because we are opening it today, but really and not only because it showcases so well the good EU-NATO cooperation. Jens and I were looking for a visit to do together for quite some time, and finally we make it. But this is really the symbolism of something we are concretely doing together. But this is because it's not by chance that both Jens and I refer to this center as potentially a hub of excellences and competences, because there's a lot of work ongoing on hybrid the nature of hybrid threats is requiring that there is a lot of work in different places from different expertises on this, on how to respond. But to have a center of excellence that can provide the network and the hub for joining, analyzing, providing a sort of catalyst and also multiplier of this work is quite invaluable, because the risk of complexity and the never-changing world and threats is the fragmentation of the response, is the fact that you don't have a unifying understanding of things. And the fragmentation, I think the president mentioned that, protecting our societies, protecting the cohesion of our societies is part of the resilience we can do. So having a hub here that gathers the excellence of the work done on hybrid and provides this coherence of work, I think, is an excellent service to global security, not only to the security of Finnish people, of Europeans, of NATO allies, but also of the world in general. Because, again, as Jens was saying, the threats move from purely military to also military, but also a lot of other things. And if you imagine that providing humanitarian support is part of the prevention of a threat in some cases, gives you the sense of the complexity of the things we have to do. So I think the center can really be a point of reference for the work we're all doing.
One more question about Finland, because Finland, here we always talk about this all of government approach. Is that something that could be exported, or is it something too complicated?
It's my dream. You know, when I started, I said I had a hearing in the European Parliament, and I said my dream would be not to have people working in different European Union institutions referring to one another as us and them, but just as us. And having this long, long, never-ending title, having these two hats of being Vice President of the Commission and High Representative, and also heading the European Defence Agency, so actually three hats, my dream is exactly that of bringing the coherence of the world together, a sort of whole-of-government approach in the European Union institutions, Council, Commission, and the different agencies. And I have to tell you, it works. Because when people realize that moving from sometimes internal competition, and I've been a minister myself, I know well, sometimes it's natural, but moving from internal competition to internal cooperation actually multiplies the effectiveness of your action. So it's smart, it saves a lot of time and energy in that sometimes is spent in internal fights that could go into external action. And I believe this is really the key to do things and do things right. Obviously, the more complex an institution is, and the European Union, I guess, gets close to the maximum of that. United Nations probably can compete with us in complexity of structures. But the more complex an institution is, the more complicated it is to have an overall government approach. But I think Finland shows us the way and teaches us the good lesson of how good and important it is to do it. In NATO, for sure, it's easier because the nature of military structures streamlines a lot, but
yes,
that's your job.
But even in NATO, I think we can learn something from Finland, especially when it comes to working together across different responsibilities and different areas of work strands. And again, this relates to the hybrid thing, because before NATO could be focused on more military response in a narrow sense, meaning planes and tanks and warships and so on. But of course, with the terrorist threat and with the hybrid threat, we need also to be very focused on all the other elements, which is part of the defense of a country, the defense of the alliance, and the response to this huge variety of threats. For instance, resilience of infrastructure, resilience of our energy supply, of our roads, our healthcare, and all that. And that just highlights the need to work closer together with civilian authorities in the different member countries, but also work together with the European Union. And even when you speak about more traditional military issues. For instance, the importance of having high readiness forces, being able to reinforce if needed. For instance, the Baltic region, we need to be able to move forces across Europe. And the reality is that to be able to do that, we need harbors, we need railroads, we need air fields which are able to facilitate the movement of heavy military material. And again, close link between the purely military part of NATO's responsibilities and the rest, and then the work with the European Union.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.